Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Akura's Arrival in Vrindavan, text number 16. Abhyangri mule patitasya me vibhu. Srasyad hasyan nija hasta pagajam. Srasyad hasyan nija hasta pagajam. Tata bayam kala bhujangaram hasa. Prodvejitanam saranaishinam rinam. Angri of his feet. Mule at the base. Patitasya who have fallen. May of me. Vibhu the Almighty Lord. Shirasi upon the head. Adhasyat will place. Nija his own. Hasta hand. Pankajam lotus like. Datta which grants. Avayam fearlessness. Kala time. Bhuja Anga of the serpent. Ramhasa by the swift force. Pradvijitanam who are greatly disturbed. Sharana shelter. Vishinam searching for. Rinam to persons. And when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. Text 17. Samahanam yatra nidhaya kaushikas tata balischa pajagatra yendratam yadva vihare prajayoshitam samam spadshena sogandika gandhya panudat. By offering charity to that lotus hand, Purandara and Bali earned the status of Indra, King of Heaven. And during the pleasure pastimes of the rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. Purport. The Puranas call the lotus found in the Manasa Sarovara lake a shogandika. Lord Krishna's lotus hand acquired the fragrance of this flower by coming in contact with the beautiful faces of the gopis. This specific incident, which occurred during the Rasa Lila, is described in the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto. We might read on a little bit more. Namaya paishyat yari buddhimachyuta kamsasya duta prahitopi visvadrik. Yonta bahischetasa etari hitam chetrajak ikshat yamalena chakshusha. The infallible Lord will not consider me an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. After all, the omniscient Lord is the actual knower of the field of this material body. Kshetragya. Mentioned in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Kshetragya, the knower of the field. And with his perfect vision, he witnesses both externally and internally all the endeavours of the conditioned soul's heart. Purport. Being omniscient, Lord Krishna knew that Akura was only externally a friend of Kamsa. Internally, he was an eternal devotee of Lord Krishna. Apyangri mule vahitam kirtan jalim mamikshita sasmitam adraya dvisha sapajapad vasta samasta kilbisho bodha mudam pita vishanka ujitam. Thus he will cast his smiling affectionate glance upon me as I remain fixed with joined palms, falling in obeisances at his feet. Then all my contamination will at once be dispelled, and I will give up all doubts and feel the most intense bliss.
Suritamam jyatim ananya daivatam dhorbhyam brihadbhyam paripraksyate tamam atma hititi kriyate tadaiva me bandas chakarmatmaka utsvasityataha.
Recognizing me as an intimate friend and relative, Krishna will embrace me with his mighty arms, instantly sanctifying my body and diminishing to nil all my material bondage, which is due to fruitive activities.
Labdvanga sangam pranatam kritanjalim mam vaksyate krura tatetyurushravaha tadavayam janma brito mahiyasa naiva drito yodhiga musya janma tat.
Having been embraced by the all-famous Lord Krishna, I will humbly stand before him with bowed head and joined palms, and he will address me, my dear Akura. At that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Indeed, the life of anyone whom... You can turn the sound off. Then nobody knows that you're playing with your computer. At that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled. Indeed, the life of anyone whom the Supreme Personality fails to recognize is simply pitiable.
Natasya kaschit doita suritamo nacha priyodvesya upeksha evava tathapi bhaktan bhajate yata tata suradrumo yadvad upasvitor tadha.
The Supreme Lord has no favourite and no dearmost friend, nor does he consider anyone undesirable, despicable, or fit to be neglected. All the same, he lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him, just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approaches them. Purport. The Lord says something similar in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 29, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend and is in me
and I am also a friend to him. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya was as hard as a thunderbolt for those who envied him, and as soft as a rose for those who understood his divine mission. Om Agyanatimirandasya Agananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurude Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Muktam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinacharinam. So it was Akura's worry or concern that ostensibly, or externally, his activities were inimical to Krishna. Because he's coming to Vrindavan as the messenger of Kamsa. So it's a worry for him. Why? Because he's a devotee. And, you know, a devotee is characterized by the fact, or the motivation, if you like, to please Krishna. Is one of the symptoms of pure devotional service, as described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is that the service rendered by a devotee to Krishna is Krishna Anushilanam, which means it's done with the motivation to please Krishna. So it's in the mood, if you like. It's in the mood of a devotee is that they perform their service to Krishna so that Krishna will be pleased. And that's their intention. As Prabhupada points out, that you know, sometimes the demons are fighting with Krishna, and they also give Krishna pleasure. They also, you know, Krishna doesn't mind having a biff up with the demons. In fact, that's part of the leela. But their motivation is to harm Krishna. Their mood is, I'm going to kill this fellow. So it can't be counted as pure devotional service. It may be accepted as service, but not pure devotional service, because one of the characteristics or the qualifications of devotional service to Krishna is that it should be done with the mood of pleasing Krishna. That's one of the characteristics of pure devotional service. One of the, what is it called? I've forgotten the Sanskrit term, but certainly the primary characteristic of pure devotional service. There are some secondary characteristics. Tatastha lakshana is secondary. Swarupa lakshana. Thank you. Yes, swarupa lakshana. Inherent quality that it has. Primary quality that it has. There's some other qualities, characteristics, that we worth mentioning, actually. It's for Krishna, and it's active. It's an activity. It's not just something that we imagine. Although, interestingly enough, as we were discussing yesterday, Chiranjeevabhu made a comment that he told the story of the Brahmana who performed devotional service by meditation. Right? Because he was very poor, he couldn't offer opulent service to the Lord, so in his meditation he was offering all of the waters gathered from the holy rivers that he visited in his meditation, the most opulent jewellery and cloth and so forth. And he got the benefit of performing that kind of... Because that kind of devotional service is not to be imitated. Right? Not that we, you know, sit and make out, yes, I'm performing all of this devotional service to Krishna, but actually we're doing nothing. Especially in the age of Kali, where there's a lot of cheating going on. Generally, we don't measure a person's devotional service by their meditation, by what they think they're doing. But we measure it by somewhat more substantial characteristics. But it is very difficult to understand the mind of a devotee. But it's said it's impossible to understand the mind of a devotee. Only Krishna can understand the mind of the devotee. We shouldn't try to second guess what a devotee is thinking and what his motivation is. We should be very careful about doing that, actually. Because you know, we can sometimes see a devotee performing activities that we might frown upon or even wonder, why are they doing that? Even sometimes we might find a devotee who's attached to performing devotional service may perform an activity which is contrary to devotional service. But if we see that their primary motivation is to be surrendered to Krishna, they have certain characteristics. There are characteristics by which we can measure the advancement of a devotee. But it shouldn't be based on the external qualities of a devotee or the external behaviour of that devotee. We have to be very careful about that. We need to look at the internal mood of the devotee. Just like here, Akura's mood is one of surrender to Krishna, and he wants to please Krishna. So he's worried, will Krishna see me as an enemy and then treat me harshly? No. He said, no, actually no. Krishna will know that my mood is in surrender to him. In other words, my mood is to please Krishna. And you know, you can see within the heart or within the character, within the activities of a devotee within whom there is the seed, if you like, of love of Godhead, it's described. There are certain characteristics. Chantir, what is it? Chantir means they're forgiving. Forgiving. Avyarta kalatvam. They like to engage themselves in Krishna's service. They like to do things for Krishna. In other words, they're always actively engaged in devotional service. They don't like to waste time. They are prideless. They don't look for recognition They don't look for recognition from others. They certainly look for recognition from Krishna, but they do that by the rendering of their service. In fact, usually the devotees, you know, the one who's demonstrating the symptoms of some purity in devotional service, they're not at all looking for some recognition for themselves, but rather they're looking for recognition from Krishna, but they do that by rendering service. As like Prabhupada says, don't act in such a way so that you can see Krishna, but rather act in a way so that, I think he's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, act in a way that Krishna will see you. So the devotee tries to keep themselves in a fairly humble position, but always engaged in devotional service, hoping that Krishna will see them. And they're eager to render that service. Eager and enthusiastic to render devotional service to Krishna. Samutkanta means eager. And even though they're feeling that, now the interesting thing is that the devotee feels themselves unqualified, like Akura is feeling himself unqualified in one sense, because he's, you know, he's coming as a friend of Kamsa. What a disqualification. You know, Kamsa's just been sending all of these people to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. So it's sort of like, what am I doing? I'm coming here to Vrindavan as Kamsa's friend, this is a terrible situation, in one sense. But even though the devotee will normally feel themselves disqualified. There's that quotation from Rupa Goswami that Prabhupada quotes in describing these characteristics of a devotee. And he mentions that asabandha, despite the fact that the devotee feels themselves very disqualified and not eligible to attain devotional service. And he describes Rupa Goswami's prayer. I'm not very learned. I can't perform austerities. I've been born in a bad family. I have an inclination for so much bad association. So what hope is there for me? But still, I have this great hope. Asabandha means hope. So it's interesting. Even though Akura is coming in this position of, externally it looks like a very bad position, because he's coming in the mood of a surrendered devotee, if you like, then he has great hope. He has hope. So he's thinking, it'll be all right. Krishna knows, Krishna, what is it? He mentions here, Kshetrajna. Kshetraga. He knows everything. He knows what's going on. Yonta bahis chetasa etat ihitam. Chetasa means he's conscious. He's conscious. Actually, it means in the heart, because that's where the consciousness is. Yonta bahis. Anta means inside. Bahir means outside. So Krishna's aware of what's going on externally, he's aware of what's going internally within everybody's heart. Kshetrajna, he knows everything. Amalena Chakshusha, he has a perfect vision. So the devotee's Akura is in one sense regretting his situation, but in the other sense he's feeling himself greatly fortunate and protected, because he knows. Krishna knows my heart. He knows what's going externally and internally. So even though it appears as if I'm coming as his enemy to bring him to Kamsa, he'll know that actually I'm his devotee. So in that sense, he's showing great hope. And he's eager. He's manifesting all of these symptoms, actually. He's very eager to see Krishna. And when I see Krishna, he'll place his hand upon my head. The same hand that gave the benediction of, a material benediction in one sense, for Indra and Bali. He gave them great opulence. And it's mentioned in here also, his hand smells like a fragrant lotus, and it's described how Krishna touched the foreheads of the gopis who were feeling faint from fatigue after having performed the rasa dance, and by Krishna's touching their foreheads they were relieved of all stress and of all fatigue. They became enthused, enlivened again. So Akura's meditating on Krishna touching his head in a similar way and relieving him of all of the anxiety, of all of the distress, all of the difficulties of material existence, is what the devotees in one sense are looking for. The shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and the touch an embrace of his arms, the touch of his hands, and the relief that will come from that feeling of protection from Krishna. Sharanam. I was listening to an interesting... Prabhupada makes some very interesting and strong statements at the end of his classes. Oftentimes. And in one of this lecture that I was listening to this morning, Prabhupada said, "It is simply an illusion to think that there is anything good in the material world. Because you have to die. You have to die. So what good is there?" And then he said, "There is nothing good here. Nothing good in the material world." Because we think, "Oh yes, this is good." No, that's not so good. And Prabhupada says, "Everything is bad in the material world. There is nothing good." So the devotees feel like that. They feel that. The distress. And it's mentioned here actually in this verse that we've got here on there. By getting the touch of Krishna, he's thinking, Dathabhayam. Krishna will give me fearlessness. In a place where Kala Bhujanga Ramhasa, where the serpent of time acts swiftly. Right? Ramhasa acts really swiftly. Just like I saw in the newspaper yesterday, there was an Englishman who saw a death adder and thought it was a lizard and was playing with it. Got bitten 5 times. And the people that he was with recognised, this is not a lizard, you don't play with death adders. They're like in the top 10 deadliest snakes. And he got bitten 5 times by the thing.
Number two.
What, second person? Second deadliest, death adder. And, by the time the medics got to him, he was experiencing cardiac arrest. So, swift. Kala Bhujanga Ramhasa. The swift action of the serpent of time. And what does it do? Kills. Destroys everybody. Just like that famous so-called wildlife conservationist who, got stung by the... got hit by the barb of the... by the barb of the stingray. Just instant karma. Boom! Gone. That's it. Finished. Where's your wealth? Where's your fame? Where's your family? Nothing can protect us. So the devotees feel that vulnerability in the material world. They feel it. Sensitive to it, rather than somebody who's blasé to reality and thinks that life is a wonderful pleasure cruise, as Bhajanarayan Prabhu mentioned. A pleasure cruise. We're on a pleasure cruise and we're all having fun. No. A devotee is sensitive to... sensitive to their own suffering and sensitive to the sufferings of others. Therefore they go out of their way to help others. So he's meditating on the shelter of Krishna's feet, the touch of his hand, which takes away the fatigue and takes away the distress of the devotees. And actually it's interesting, one achieves that shelter and that relief from distress when one engages in pure devotional service. When one engages, and you see that here with Akura, he's meditating on his misfortune, but he's also thinking, how lucky I am that I will be able to see Krishna how fortunate I am. I'll be able to bow, I'll be able to fall at his feet with arms, with hands folded, and I'll be able to prostrate myself in front of Krishna, and I'll get his shelter. So that kind of a situation is actually quite rare. Sudulabha, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. But even pure devotional service is quite rare. It's rarely achieved. But still, it is readily attainable. By the mercy of the devotees, actually, it's readily attainable. We can see it, even for us. You know, it says in the Shastra, and it appears to be a contradiction, it says, you know, many, many births, sudulabham, very hard, difficult to achieve, manushyanam sahasreshu, out of thousands amongst men, hardly one comes to the point of perfection. You know, it's because sometimes devotees say, you know, oh, it's too hard. Well, they say, it's all right for you, because they don't realize that I'm struggling just like anybody else. It's all right for you to talk about pure devotional service, but what about the rest of us? It's too hard. Right? Although it's not, actually. Pure devotional service is not restricted. Devotional service is not restricted by any material disqualification. There is no material disqualification. There is no material obstacle or impediment that is too great to be overcome by devotional service, by pure devotional service, certainly. What are the qualifications? Pure devotional service, when it's performed with this, with a desire to please Krishna. You know, despite the fact that he's coming as a friend of Kamsa, or despite the fact that we're coming also contaminated by so many births in the material existence, we're coming from demonic families. They're not disqualified. In one sense, especially because this is Kali Yuga, everybody is disturbed, everybody is misguided, misplaced, if you like. Pradvejitanam is the word here. Pradvejitanam means greatly disturbed. Right? Prayanal payasa sabhya kalovas min yuge janaha. Mandasu manda matayo manda bhagya hiyupadutaha. Everybody's disturbed in the age of Kali. But despite that, despite the disturbances, or perhaps as a result of the disturbances, we are actually fully qualified to take to devotional service. Lord Chaitanya is described by the Acharyas. What is it? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koro More. Please be merciful to me. If you analyze my situation, you won't find anybody more fallen than me. Right? But your mission is to save all of the most fallen. Right? This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's very interesting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has created a process, or is presenting actually the process of giving us the opportunity to engage in devotional service, and he's giving that opportunity to anybody. No disqualifications. In fact, the less the qualification, the better qualified you are actually to receive devotional service. Because usually, what does it mean? If we're disqualified, it means we're suffering in the material world. Interesting. Most people these days, or certainly there's a high percentage of people, especially within the so-called scientific community, who don't believe in God. Right? Don't believe in God. But it's interesting, yesterday I picked up this The one of the scientists from the meteorological organisation said, we're in real trouble. What we're suggesting is if we want rain, we need to start praying now. So, you know, it's funny, isn't it? When things get really tough, right? Things get really tough, what do? You start praying. Oh God, please help us. We don't have any rain. And what are we going to do if in March next year we haven't got any water in our reservoirs? What would we do? When you think about it, what would we do? Go and turn on the tap and there's no water. Imagine that. We're lucky because we live near the Port Phillip Bay, so we can always go and take a bath in the ocean. Right? Imagine that. 4 o'clock in the morning, all of the devotees get up and go down the beach to take bath. Why not? But it's interesting, in distress, what do people do? They pray to God. Whereas, you know, if they're opulent and well off, they don't pray to anybody. You know, they try to escape the tax man and do other things to keep their money, so forth. So it's a natural thing. But of course, the devotees know that Krishna will look after them. And so they're not praying for, you know, please make it rain. Or please give me this, or please give me that, or please give me the other thing. Because generally, the other characteristic, secondary characteristics of pure devotional service, is that it's free from a desire for cultivation of knowledge. You know, devotees don't mind if they're learned or not learned. That's not a big problem for them. They just want to be engaged in devotional service. Or whether they become wealthy or are impoverished. Because devotional service, when it's performed with a pure heart, automatically satisfies all the needs of the devotee. That's the interesting thing. Virakti, he's renounced, detached if you like. We can become detached. We can become detached sort of in a mechanical way. You know, by avoiding the objects of the senses. Right? But the devotees, and sometimes in the beginning of devotional service we do that. We have the four regulated principles. No meat eating, no, all of these different things, right? But when a devotee makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, then, you know, meat eating. I mean, how many devotees think about eating meat? You know, it's just not even kids ask me at school, you know, why don't you ever feel like having a McDonald's? I said, I've never had a McDonald's in my life. I've never ever had the urge to have one. No, it's not a problem for me. So, you know, when a devotee makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, then it's not like they're hankering and lamenting about all their sin, but they're naturally detached. So that even in the midst of sense gratification, they're not bewildered. Although in Kali Yuga it's pretty hard. We went out on Harinam last night and all these people walking up and down the street. And I went past the Flinders Street railway station and there was a man there who's on a fourth day of his hunger strike. And he had this sort of thing up that says, help! You know, I need a barrister and a solicitor. And something about fines. It was a whole thing. And, oh boy, what's going on here? Then walk over the road, go past Young and Jackson's. You know, there's all of the just the flotsam and jetsam of Melbourne city life going up and down the street. And I'm like, whoa, this place is amazing. It's crazy walking up the street. Even the people who apparently, you know, normal, look pretty strange. It was interesting, actually. It was interesting to note last night when the devotees were enthusiastically chanting and dancing, then as people were walking down the street, they all started jumping up and down and carrying on and imitating the devotees. It was quite... And I was thinking, oh no, they're all going to think we're crazy. We're all just going to fit into the landscape. All crazy. But actually, the devotees, not crazy. Now Prabhupada said, who is crazy? And devotees are definitely not crazy. So in this whole scene, it's Friday night downtown, it's just bizarre. And it is disturbing. It can be disturbing. There's no doubt about it. You're in a sea of just disturbed minds. But chanting Hare Krishna, one can be completely detached and not distracted by what's going on. So a devotee becomes satisfied, like a kura. He's looking forward to being a surrendered soul at Krishna's lotus feet and getting his darshan, which is achievable by pure devotional service. Basically, by rendering a devotional service with the right mood, I want to please Krishna. And we do that by surrendering to the instructions of the spiritual master. That's our method. Our methodology is by offering our service to the spiritual master and to the devotees, because, you know, often we don't have the association of the spiritual master, or certainly the person who initiated us as such. But in order to please Krishna, we render service to the devotees. Interesting, Achintya Rupa was pointing out to me last night that the translation of Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnanam Jnaninas Tattvadarsanaha. Jnaninas means we serve the devotees who have seen the truth. It's plural, it's not singular. It's plural. And you know, the ecstasy, if you like, or our advancement in Krishna consciousness is very much dependent upon this point of pleasing Krishna through pleasing Krishna's devotees. And in fact, advancement in Krishna consciousness can be stopped by committing offences to Krishna's devotees. That's how it gets blocked. One loses a taste. You know, the symptoms of making progress in Krishna consciousness, one that becomes eager and enthusiastic. And pure devotional service, you know, it removes distress. Right? It removes distress. And it creates auspiciousness. Removes the bad qualities. And it gives us the good qualities. And then makes the devotee, it makes it happy. We can say the same thing with pure devotional service. We can understand, oh, I'm not feeling very happy. Then it means we can look at it and think, well, hang on a second, if I'm not, that means there must be some impurity in my motivation. Huh? The health department comes along and says, you've got to fix up your pot shed. $30,000. Thanks. Huh? So there's your big plans all gone out the window while you fix up the pot shed. So, you know, looking, but in spiritual life, we're not looking for, we realise that. We recognise, yes, Krishna tells us, in the material world, there's always going to be happiness, and then usually is followed by distress. Right? That's normal. But what we're looking forward to is making advancement in Krishna consciousness, because that's what makes you actually happy, and makes us satisfied, steady, stable, so that we can ride through the ups and downs. But if we're becoming despondent about our devotional service, that means usually that our motivation is not quite right. Because it's not pure. It's not, and that's why Prabhupada, this is why Prabhupada actually translated the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and gave us the nectar of devotion, because the Rupa Goswami has so expertly analysed the process of devotional service and how it depends on our mentality rendering the service to Krishna, rendering service to the devotees. With a desire, like Akura. Okay, I'm coming as Kamsa's messenger, I'm a bit of a demon, but actually I'm here to please Krishna. Please protect me. With that mood, with that motivation, then there shouldn't be any anxiety for the devotee, certainly not discouragement in practicing Krishna consciousness. Sure, we can be discouraged about the fact that material life is a bummer. But that's, everybody knows that. But we can't complain about the process of devotional service. Indirectly, if we're complaining about the process of devotional service, the only thing that we could be really honest in admitting is our inability to do it, or our lack of desire to do it. That's the other thing. You know, sometimes devotees say, oh, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. But really, when it boils down to it, all they're saying is, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to serve Krishna anymore. I want to be the centre of attention. I want to tell everybody what to do. I'm sick of Krishna telling me what to do. Right? Well, that's okay, but that's the reason why we're in the material world. And that will further prolong our suffering. No problem, if you realise that. Of course, if we realise that, then we adjust our motivations and we will, okay, I'm being a bit selfish here. I'm being a bit selfish. So now I need to refocus my attention back on my devotional service. I need to look at my mentality. I need to see if, am I actually rendering service to Krishna free from material? Is it aimed at pleasing Krishna? Is it aimed at pleasing Krishna's devotees? Or am I thinking, you know, this is just for me? Subtly, it can be like that, and that's not much different to the activities of the materialistic persons. So therefore, you know, The Nectar of Devotion is a really valuable book in one sense, most valuable book. Why Prabhupada translated it and gave us a summary study of Rupa Goswami's teachings, because it right in the beginning, it tells us the potency of having an attitude like a Krura and being enthusiastic and eager to render devotional service. Being constantly engaged in devotional service, for that matter. Knowing that then Krishna will protect me. Krishna will look after me. That's shraddha, faith. Having faith that Krishna... Actually, there is no greater perfection than performing devotional service. There is no higher achievement can be attained than by rendering service to Krishna. And rendering service to Krishna's devotees, because, you know, we don't always get an opportunity to render service directly to Krishna. So we can learn a lot from Akrura in his mood of wanting to please the Lord, and in his feeling protection, feeling protected, and his offering of prayers and so forth. Very nice. It's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Akrura is in the mood of dasyam. He's in the mood of a servant. That's his mood. And so he's coming to Vrindavan as Krishna's servant. So a good example for us to follow. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? Just go, Bob.
The